Belinda Thompson from Crawford River Wines. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of talk about you and your lovely wines of late. The write-ups that, you know, Halliday Companion's been dropping and a lot of critics talking about your magnificent Rieslings and Cab Savs. So it seems quite topical and great timing to have you on the show. So firstly, congratulations that your wines are being picked up so well. I can see the smile on your face. It's like, yes.
Thank you.
You're deserving that. So why don't we take a bit of a step back and you give us a bit of the history of, because I know it's all family, but give us the history of Crawford River Wines and then we'll delve into the wines themselves.
Crikey. Okay. So Crawford River was started in 1975 by my parents, where they planted the vineyard on an existing sheep and cattle station belonging to my father's family. And they'd been working overseas for quite some time. Passionate about wine and farming, but there wasn't much money in farming in the 70s. So when they came back home, they decided to plant a vineyard, and there was always an intention to make wine from that vineyard, not sell the grapes. And the winery was subsequently built in 1981. And the rest on that front is really history. We got very, very lucky with the site that they chose, did a number of soil tests. We're on an interesting confluence of soil types, a volcanic plain to the east and an ancient risen seabed at the base of the slope of the vineyard. So the soil profile is a really interesting duplex soil throughout the vineyard, which is hugely beneficial for the varieties, which were really luckily possibly chosen. They were Cab Sav and Riesling dominant, and chosen because they'd fallen in love with both Claret and Riesling on the continent when they were in London. And it just so happened in this cool climate that the late flowering, late ripening varieties were super well suited to the area. They worked incredibly hard. They both have wonderful palates, love their food and wine, and always have done. And so that really paved the way, I suppose, for some very good quality grapes to be grown and some good wine to be made, which was all a really good start. And then I decided to be get interested in it. After I'd completed my first degree, I did a Bachelor of Arts and then a Dip Ed actually in teaching, and then went to work in the food industry in Sydney. And while I was there, really confirmed that the city wasn't for me and wanted to get back to my country roots. So I enrolled in a post-grad diploma over in New Zealand, and that's where my professional wine journey sort of started. So I did my course. I lived there for about 4 years, went back and forth to Europe for about the next 13 or 14 years, and then settled back here in 2013 or 14.
Right. God, there's actually quite a lot I want to pick up there. First of all, just going back there, I'm quite intrigued as to the exact area that your family chose. As you were just saying, it wasn't at the time, it wasn't really known for as peak wine, as a wine growing area, was it? You're a cool climate, but you're not a cold climate, but you're still that southwest of Victoria. So what is now producing beautiful wines wasn't back then. So there was quite a lot of, I guess, trial and error, and your parents just seemed to luck out very well on the varietals that they started with. So you started with Riesling and Cab Sav, and they're probably still your flagships now, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. And look, the other vineyard in the area at the time was the Seppelt Strumbourg Vineyard, which is about 30 k's south of us as the crow flies, not quite. And that was planted specifically for its cool climate nature and was originally established for champagne varieties. So they have Chardonnay, Pinot, Pinot Meunier predominantly down there. And I think that just wasn't on the radar for Dad when he planted. And we are a little bit further north. They're sort of, really more coastal. They're only 10 k's from the coast. We're about 50 k's inland from the coast. And then the rest of the southwest, if you like, down in our neck of the woods, there are just vineyards apart from us. And then 50 k's to the north of us is also classified as Henty, but is really a very different environment. It's continental, whereas we describe ourselves as maritime influence. We're not coastal, but we're maritime influence because we get those coastal influence sea breezes and airflows.
So that probably explains why, if you actually look at the at the varietals, the range of the varietals that you plant. So, of course, it's the Riesling and the Cab Savs. Be looking at the Cab Franc, one of my favourites, Semillon, Sauv Blanc. That is not what you expect to have in Victoria. Instead, that is very much, to me, Western Australia. You know, you even have an SBS, which I love a good SBS. And so it's very much the Western Australia style. And I guess that is that sort of maritime influence. So how is that based on, you know, I mean producing varietals that aren't so well known in Victoria? I mean, to a certain extent, it's a great differentiator, I'm sure.
For sure. It's a really interesting pickup, actually, and comment about Western Australia. If you're talking about farming, and forgetting about grapes for a moment, a lot of people will actually describe our area in this particular very specific neck of the woods as being very similar to the southwest corner of Western Australia in terms of climate, rainfall, airflow, proximity to the coast. So you're absolutely right. And the Sauvignon, there was about a hectare of Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon co-planted in the 1970, in the second year that Dad planted. So he planted in 75, then 76, then 77, and then later in 94. But I think having an edge or a point of differentiation, I think, is important. But the beautiful thing about Riesling, the varieties that we have, is that elongated season. We don't get the super cold nights. We don't get the super hot days. It's a more moderated climate, I suppose. And being able to differentiate more from the climate and the soil type, I suppose, and being able to stand alone was certainly helpful in the beginning. But having that ability to produce high quality grapes is where it all starts. I think the tyranny of distance is that I think a lot more people would plant grapes here if we weren't so far from our audience. It just so happened that this is where the farm was. I don't think any idiot really would come and plant grapes here and think that was a business just because they felt like it. But it just happens to be the family connection, obviously.
So when you say so far from your audience, I mean, it's just not the easy, it's not the absolute go-to wine regions a lot of people do. Is that, that's what you're referring to?
I'm referring to the fact that we're so far from employees and also our trade customers, I suppose. You know, the dominance of our customers are in the cities around Melbourne, and while we certainly have country consumers, we only have small towns surrounding us. So the wine was never going to be able to be sold in the proximate area, and we're not, you know, we're 4 hours from Melbourne, so we're not in a high traffic area for tourists.
No. Yeah, you really are in the middle of nowhere, but a very, very beautiful area.
Beautiful.
Well, let's deep dive into the wines themselves, because I think the Riesling and the Cab Sav certainly deserve some attention. So you're about to release, I think, early April, like quite literally in the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
You're releasing your 23 Riesling, of which you have many magnificent Rieslings, and I know you're quite famous for, and your very first reserve Cab Sav. Tell us about both.
Yeah, so the Riesling is actually already out. That came out in February. But the you're right, the first reserve Cab Sav is going to come out at the beginning of April, and I'm really excited. I'm very, very happy with both wines, and it's been real vindication that the 23 Riesling has been so well received by the critics. And, I mean, you put yourself on the line a little when you send wine to critics, but it's part of what we do. But 23 was a tricky vintage, and I'll be honest, it's the hardest vintage I've done here in 20 years. And it is, so it's really nice to see that people have received that wine well, because a lot of heart and soul and work went into producing a really small quantity of that wine because our yields were well down. So so it's terrific to see that it's appreciated at the other end.
Yes. And
then the Cab Sav was a brand new idea, I suppose, in 2022, because we had sensational Cab Sav fruit, and I love the Cabernet Sauvignon that comes off this site. I love the savoury nature of it. I love the tannins that come from it, and I think that's a combination of the ironstone-rich soil and the limestone over which it sits. I'm a vigneron first and foremost, so I sort of believe that the wine is grown in the vineyard, and most of my time during the year is spent in the vineyard, so being able to harness what I grow in the vineyard and nurture it in the winery is really satisfying. But the reserve came about because I have a single block that I often leave for an elongated period of time on skins after ferment has finished, because I like the extraction of the tannins when after the ferment has finished. So without the heat, but with the alcohol. So the extraction profile changes, and you draw out a different range of tannic qualities in the wine, which I find in Cab Sav tends to be from the mid to the back palate. And so this wine was all made in stainless steel. It was left on skins for about 6 months post-ferment, and it was pressed to tank, and then I just had a little overflow from the tank, so I had to stick it in a barrel. It was a used barrel, but it is predominantly made without oak, so it is one. It's just all about the vineyard and the site. Beautiful. Single block, single site, no oak, well, practically no oak influence. Yep. And it just lets the variety and the site shine, which to me is a really exciting thing.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the way it should be. So, what sort of quantities are you producing? What sort of acreage do you have?
Oh, tiny. So we have we have the original up until about 6 years ago, let's say, the vineyard area is about 11.5 hectares. But due to the age of the vineyard and the climate that we're in, I'm on a big replanting schedule. So I started pulling out small sections and replanting them so that in another 5 years' time we don't find ourselves with a 55-year-old vineyard that's non-productive. So just small bits at a time and replacing them, basically. I'm not expanding at this stage. We just need to get the vineyard area, the original vineyard area, back replanted and healthy and happy. Yes. So in July we'll be fully replanted again with the bits I've pulled out. And then yields, I don't crop in a heavy manner on any of the reds. They don't want to anyway, so that sort of works because of the age of the vines. I'm really conscious about being able to comfortably ripen whatever we're producing, and so that the vine is in balance, you get better fruit quality anyway. So yeah, we're right now we have about 10 hectares that are producing.
Right. Okay. So we've actually had a message in from Christopher. Good morning, Christopher. He says, "Hi, Jill. I loved Crawford River Riesling when aged. I would love to know if the wine is deliberately made to be aged."
Oh, that's a really interesting question. And I get asked that question quite a lot, and why do our Rieslings age quite a lot? Mm-hmm. The answer is no, we don't make our Rieslings to age, but for some reason they do age really beautifully. And that's just...
because they're made so well.
Thank you so much. That's just experience over time. I think the fact that the grapes are allowed to ripen to full phenological ripeness because of the length of the season. We're not concerned about picking in a hurry because of a heat spike or an acid drop, because our veraison happens in February. So realistically, you know, I haven't started picking Riesling here yet. I'm going to take one little block off this week, but realistically we'll start after Easter, which is about par for the course. But I think it has to do, in answer to Christopher's specific question, I think it has to do with the balance of the fruit when it's picked, the phenological ripeness, the natural acidity and the low pH. I think all those things go towards making a wine of good longevity. But to me, importantly as well, if you have the complexity and the texture and the structure in the wine to begin with, it should age beautifully contextually with those other things in check.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, it's a very comprehensive answer. Just very quickly, do you do a Chardonnay?
No, we don't.
I didn't think so. The fact that you're actually not even going to be picking like Riesling until after Easter, where are you in vintage right now?
So we buy in a little bit of fruit now just because of the aging of the vineyard and the reduction in the yields. I'm buying in a very small amount of fruit. Right. And also we've picked Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon just this week gone.
Right. Okay.
So we're just launching in, as it were.
That's what you were doing on Thursday.
Correct.
That's right. So I was rather intrigued. So you have a rosé, and as soon as I saw the rosé, I thought, oh, is this going to be a Cab Francs? I love a Cab Franc rosé. But I was very intrigued to see that your rosé is made of Pinot Gris and Semillon.
So that was a first off. So again, the vineyard series label is a new creation. And it will be ongoing for a number of years. And it is made. The reason it looks different to our original labels is because it's purchased fruit. So the Semillon is ours, but the Pinot Gris I buy from a little vineyard just down the road from us in Hayward, which is also over a limestone base, and it has beautiful fruit. Right. And I've also purchased some Chardonnay from there, and it looks magnificent. So watch this space.
Okay, Bryce, so there was a Chardonnay thing. I had a feeling there might be a Chardonnay. Okay, got you.
So traditionally, Crawford River since 2007 has made a rosé out of Cabernet Sauvignon. Mm-hmm. And to your point, the Cabernet Franc, it has that lovely savoury edge, and we've become really known for it. So in 23, I had a bit of a play with the Pinot Gris from down the road and left it on skins for a couple of days, fermented it out, and that is what the rosé is made of this year. But I added a tweak of our Semillon at the end when I was blending, because it just draws that savoury profile from the mid to the back palate, and it's dry and it's light and it's crisp, but it still has that beautiful creamy texture that you expect from one of our rosés, and a fruit profile as well. It has, you know, I like to make wines, all of my wines should have texture in my view, because you should be able to drink them by themselves or with food. So that is where that rosé comes from.
Okay, well, I like that. I'm actually very intrigued and would love to try it. So just very quickly, people finding you, so obviously finding you hard. No, you're off the beaten track. So I'm assuming that your cellar door is by appointment only, of course, but you would open it up any day of the week. What's your scenario?
We are Monday to Friday, and we are often on weekends, but I don't like to promise people weekends.
Sure.
It depends. But basically, we're open as long as I'm here and available to look after someone. We're actually very lucky. We get a lot of visitors. We're only 45 minutes from Dunkeld, so a lot of guests who come to the Royal Mail and for the experience of the weekend or the Grampians come and see us. We're an hour from Port Ferry, so a lot of people who come down to Port Ferry, call up for the day and do a little loop. We're only 15 minutes from Budgebim and Tay Rack, which are our local cultural heritage sites. So a lot of people who are visiting them come on a bit of a loop as well. So we are a destination, not a drive-by. We always welcome visitors. I absolutely love seeing people. We have a dedicated tasting space in Cellar Door. So my phone number and email are on the website for Cellar Door visitors for anyone wanting to come by.
Excellent. And of course, the website is crawfordriverwines.com. No .au, guys. It's just crawfordriverwines.com. And I guess just very, very lastly, how are you spending your Easter?
Oh, well, probably racking Riesling juice, I'd suggest, and looking after barrels. But I will definitely be taking Sunday. My brother and his family are going to come down to the farm, which will be great. So we'll have a family lunch somewhere or other on Sunday. But, yeah, usually Easter for me at this time of the year is either checking grapes or looking after my baby ferments. And but, you know, a little bit of downtime as well. But, yeah, this time of the year it's normally the kind of getting into the thick of it for me.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, look, I good luck with the I'd say the rest, but it sounds like you've got a lot of it to go. But good luck with it. It's shaping up well. Guys, get amongst these beautiful wines and can't wait to try this first Reserve Cab Sav
early April.
Congratulations with all of the highlights that you've been getting, and we'll get you back on the show later in the year.
Thank you so much for having me, Jill. It's been a pleasure.